As a reminder, MLB Network's live coverage from Globe Life Field gets underway today, 3 p.m. Eastern, when John will be contributing to, and MLB Tonight will immediately air following the game, so it is a big day. He's got a lot to get done. He is John Morosi. John, welcome back. Always good to have you on, John. How are you?
Jim, always enjoy our conversations. Happy World Series to you, my friend. It's been a great one so far.
It has been tremendous. I would say the same thing to you, John. Listen, before we talk about Game 6, let me get you to go back, if you don't mind, to Game 4. You were on the steps right next to the Rays dugout for the end of that game. What was the reaction in the Rays dugout, and what was it like to watch it all play out right in front of you at the end of Game 4?
I'm never going to forget what I saw, Jim. It was one of the more remarkable sights in my entire career watching baseball, because Arozarena fell down between third base and home plate probably 45 feet in front of me. And so I remember the shock at seeing that, and then out of the corner of my eye I saw the ball escape Will Smith at home plate and said, oh my gosh, they're still going to win. And you know, as a broadcaster, our next thought is, okay, where do I go and who do I interview and what do I ask them after witnessing that? So my mind was racing. I saw Brett Phillips running around center field as he was struggling to catch his breath. It was absolute chaos. And, you know, Jim, there have been a couple times during the course of this postseason where I have felt normal in the sense of the chaos of a postseason aftermath of a game where there's a lot of emotion and a lot of noise and a lot of excitement. One was when the Dodgers won the pennant, and then certainly Game 4 was in that category too, where the exhilaration and the ability to try to process what was happening and slow our thoughts down to be able to broadcast and put something cogent on the air, that those challenges, those emotions were all very familiar to me as a broadcaster having covered a lot of playoffs. So that was both exhilarating and remarkable, and also oddly centering as well, because it felt like postseason chaos, even though, Jim, I would tell you, my friend, we have never seen anything like what we saw at the end of Game 4.
Never. Never seen anything like that. And what a great description by you, John. John Morosi joining us. So given how Game 4 ended for the Dodgers, John, how important was it for them to get out to an early lead in Game 5, courtesy of Mookie Betts and Corey Seager?
Well, that's a great point, and I was speaking yesterday with Adam Kolarik, a Dodger reliever, on the off day at the ballpark, and he made that point about how being able to bat first was actually really important for the Dodgers, to have the chance to answer right away. And I think that was a tremendous 8-pitch at-bat to begin the game by Mookie, and 2 pitches later, Corey Seager had brought him around, and the Dodgers had a 1-0 lead, which, of course, they never relinquished. So I think in that sense, being the road team was really important, just as I think actually being the road team tonight works well for the Rays. Of course, they're facing elimination, and they've had an off day, and here comes their chance to answer. And I think we'll probably see a different Rays lineup tonight in terms of Yandy Diaz starting against a righty and Tony Gonsolin for the Dodgers. And so it's that same desperation. But I was so impressed by the way the Dodgers responded. They've got such a professional team, Jim. And Corey Seager, we talk as well about my love of hockey. And if there was a Conn Smythe Award for baseball, which would be the postseason MVP, not just the World Series MVP, I think right now Corey Seager would be the favorite on the Dodgers side, with Randy Arozarena on the Rays side, because both have been tremendous. Both have been LCS MVPs, and both right now look like World Series MVPs in terms of their candidacy for that award as well.
You know, John, I'm glad you made that point about Seager, because I could not be more impressed with what he's done at the plate, in the field, on the bases. I mean, this guy's been absolutely amazing. And then you get, John, to Clayton Kershaw. Like, a lot of people not named Clayton Kershaw think a lot about how he pitches in the postseason. I'm kind of curious, what do you think that he makes of that rap that he has? Fair or not, what do you think that he makes of what he hears?
Well, he cares so much, Jim, and I think last year when the Dodgers lost to the Nationals in that first-round series, I remember distinctly Clayton's comments afterwards saying, everything that you want to say about me and the postseason right now is true. And he said that with a tone of resignation. He cares so deeply about this organization, about the game, his own professional obligation to it. He's never run from it. I also think he's to his credit, Jim, a couple things. Number one, he's now won 13 postseason games, which is the third most in the wild card era. So he's had some pretty great outings behind only Andy Pettit and Justin Verlander. So it's not as though he's 0-20. He's basically, I think, 13-12 now. And also, he's never, when he was asked about it earlier in this postseason, about the Astros in 2017 and how you look at his numbers and the one really bad World Series start that you would say that he had was against the Astros in 2017 when we now know they were cheating. And he's never said as an excuse, hey, that start should be taken out of my record, so to speak. There should be an asterisk on those numbers. He's never said that. When he was asked about it, in fact, a couple weeks ago, he basically said, hey, we're all about this World Series. We're not talking about what happened 3 years ago. We're trying to win the game in front of us now. So he's always been very, very classy. I'm sure as a competitor, there's got to be a level of satisfaction, Jim, that now he's started two games this World Series and won them both. That's a pretty strong demonstration. And it's been amazing how for a long time, Jim, and you know this, he was the standard bearer of the organization. And now the load, I think, is carried a little bit more evenly among the pitching staff. And for a while, he was carrying the whole organization. And now he's had some teammates who have picked him up. And it's really actually a pretty compelling story.
I agree. John Morosi is joining us. And then, John, like Kershaw, you've got Dave Roberts, who has taken some heat in the past for the way he's managed in the postseason. And in particular, how he's managed Kershaw. Overall, what do you make of the job that he has done this season and in these playoffs?
Well, he's been excellent. And first of all, I'll make this point. In the middle of a pandemic, the Dodgers won had the highest winning percentage in a single season in franchise history, period. So that's a very hard thing to fault the manager for any reason when you have that as the backdrop, that you've had a better winning percentage in the history of a pretty storied organization. I think game four, you could have taken issue with the use of Pedro Baez. That was maybe the one puzzling decision that I saw there, sticking with him after it appeared that he had been told that he was going to come out of the game. There were a lot of other bullpen options there, so I didn't really understand that one fully. But then turn around, game five. Dustin May, trust him in a huge spot. A lot of great communication led into that. May is throwing 101 miles an hour and gets out of that inning. And then he trusts Victor Gonzalez, who had never pitched in the major leagues before this year, to get out Randy Arozarena in probably the biggest spot of the game. So I think for as much as there was criticism before, maybe saying that he was too loyal to Kenley Jansen, it was then Blake Treinen who closed out the game in Game 5. So that was, I think, while Game 4 was maybe not his finest hour, Game 5 was. And so I think you have to look at the overall body of work, tremendous job that he's done. And I think, too, Jim, we have to acknowledge the history here that Dave Roberts is now one win away from becoming the second African-American manager in baseball history to win the World Series, of course, joining the great Cito Gaston from the Blue Jays back in 1992 and 93. So Dave has always been very aware of that history. He's spoken about his role as a leader on and off the field and issues that transcend the game. And I think as someone who's gotten to know him a lot over the years, I think Dave Roberts is a tremendous manager and a great representative of the game as well.
I agree with you. And Cito Gaston was great. Used to love having him on the show back in the day. John Morosi is joining us. So, John, what about the Rays? They've got their back to the wall, but generally, when they do, they come out fighting. How do you think they will show up tonight?
I think that they're going to have a tremendous performance tonight, and it's not going to surprise me at all. As much as the Dodgers are the favorites here, and they were my pick to win it in seven games when this thing started, and I'll probably stick with that. I have a feeling the Rays are going to find a way to win Game 6 and force a seventh game. I think that their at-bats will be very good tonight. I look for Kevin Cash. A couple things here. Number one, when you're facing elimination, you have to really do everything you can from a pitching standpoint and not let Blake Snell struggle at all. First sign of struggle, get him out of the game. I don't think he's going to struggle that much, but I think if he does, you're not afraid to pull him in the third or fourth inning. You've got a rested bullpen. The off day yesterday was huge, so you can probably go to Anderson and Fairbanks and Castillo for four-plus outs apiece. You've got a great lineup now, I think, of pitching to really support what you're trying to do there. So, and you could probably even use Ryan Yarbrough if you had to in this particular ballgame. So the pitching lines up well for them. I think we're going to see a different-looking lineup, maybe with a Mike Brasso involved there, Yandy Diaz from the right side as well. Maybe they end up sitting a struggling left-handed batter like a Joey Wendell or even a G-Man Choi. They're going to have to get creative. They have no choice. I think the at-bats by Arozarena have been tremendous. I look to Brandon Lau has had some big moments here in this World Series as well. I think, Jim, it may be kind of going against the grain here, but I believe they find a way to force a seventh game, and still think the Dodgers are the best team, still believe they're going to win the championship, but something about this year and this World Series makes me think we could see a seventh game.
You know, I tend to see it the same way, and John, I can't help but think when you mentioned Cito Gaston, now I'm really flashing back. I've got images of Ed Sprague, Kelly Gruber dancing through my mind. Man, those were some great teams, weren't they?
They really were. The Blue Jays of those eras, you think about the number of Hall of Famers that were on those teams in like 92 and 93, Winfield, Molitor, Alomar, Morris. Of course, just what an amazing rotation they had there at different times there in Toronto. Just it was the place where superstars went to play. Devon White gliding across center field. What a tremendous player he always was. I always loved watching him play. And, of course, the great Joe Carter in the moment back in 1993. So I think in a similar way, you know, Cito Gaston was – I was asking Cito this morning. Actually, I spoke with him on the phone. And he talked about how, you know, the one difference is, of course, those Blue Jays teams had so many switch hitters and more switch hitters. And, of course, the Dodgers more of a sort of a strict platoon lineup. But similar in terms of finding a way to motivate and get the best out of a superstar laden team, and so I think he really sees a lot of Dave Roberts and what he has done, and really wanted to convey how proud he is of Dave Roberts and the job that he's done. So, and certainly the way that seeing Dave Roberts win potentially opens the door for even more African-American managers in the future, with some other great candidates being interviewed right now, like George Lombard, who's the Dodgers' first base coach, and Will Venable, who's the son of Max Venable, a great major league player. So it's a pretty cool storyline, really, to connect generations in that regard.
It's a great storyline. Such good stuff. MLB Network's live coverage from Globe Life Field gets underway today at 3 p.m. Eastern. Make note of that. John is going to contribute to, and also MLB Tonight, which is going to immediately air following Game 6. He is John Morosi. John, so great to have you back. I've enjoyed all of our conversations. Have a great evening, and I know we will do it again soon regardless.
Sounds great, Jim. Thanks for the call. Always enjoy whenever we catch up, and just you're the best in the business, my friend. Great job with the show, as always.
You too, John. Thanks so much. Appreciate that so much from you. John Morosi joining us, getting ready for Game 6. He said he's got a sense that there's going to be a Game 7. Do you trust the Dodgers on a bullpen night?